fighting for America.
Education should be the number one priority in this state if we want to improve our economy, if we want to improve our wages, if we want to improve our outcomes for kids.
Fighting for Idaho.
The sexiest thing in the entire world is being really smart and being thoughtful and being generous.
Fighting for you.
We just ask our teachers to know the kids as best they can as individuals and then provide the best individual education for every student.
My life at school, it's very challenging, but I choose to accept that challenge.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, K Millie in the morning of 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. Phone numbers, you know them, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'd love to see you October 17th at the Chick-fil-A on Eagle Road. And we're going to be there just doing the morning show. Stop in for a biscuit or my favorite, I little love the little chicken strips. Want to thank Brad and Amy for that. That is our victory party to celebrate your commitment to what we do here each and every day at 580KIDO, and to winning the Excellence in Broadcasting Award, the Marconi. And as I've said before, and I say this to everyone, it's a team effort. You can take your picture with the award. We'll put it on our Facebook and our website, and you know, you can tell everybody that you won the Marconi. Now, we're chasing Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch. If we get him, great. If not, these things happen, and we promise to get him on as soon as possible. Sometimes, as Dave Ramsey likes to say, life happens. I do want to talk to you about how secure you believe the White House is, number one, and this issue that happened last night in the big football game where you have a Kansas City Chiefs player who, as soon as he scored a touchdown, Hussein Abdullah got on his knees, prayed to Mecca, and all of a sudden he got a 15-yard penalty, and you have people that are saying the country is too pro-Christian, saying that one person prays to Jesus and doesn't get a penalty. Abdullah prays to Muhammad and gets 15 yards. It's interesting. Apparently, we have reaction from the Kansas City media. The refs didn't say anything to him, and he didn't ask for an explanation because he was pretty sure it was for the slide. So what a wonderful world we live in that we're going to debate now, not domestic violence, not child abuse, when we should be talking about football games, but praying to Mecca and prayer in sports. Let's go now to Ron Paul Jim with K Millie at 580KIDO. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Morning, Kevin. I had a question, a suggestion of an investigation for Judicial Watch, and that is the truth behind the storyline, which has got us involved in the Middle East in every one of these conflicts, and the result of every one of these interventions that our government does with Gaddafi, with Egypt, with, you know, Syria and Iraq. It seems that if you were on the outside looking in, the end results seem to be that we are pro-radical Islam because each group that we supported were radicals, and each dictator they toppled or attempted to topple was more secularist.
So what's your point in a succinct sentence to Judicial Watch?
I think we should investigate whether or not we're being told the truth about faulty intelligence or making decisions that end up costing their countries millions of lives. And I see this story being researched.
Right. So your question is, and again, you're saying you want them to investigate why we're in the Middle East. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, like from Nurse Naria all the way up to the Muslim Brotherhood and the overthrow of Gaddafi, and look what's happened to Libya since. Look at the Syrian rebels. The storyline came out that the people that was seen with John McCain were the ones that sold the reporter to the radicals for like $50,000.
All right, Ron Paul Jim, why don't you hang up and we'll get that answer for you. Who would have thought that Chris Farrell, even when he's not on the air from Judicial Watch, is taking over the segment by getting questions. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. It's great to be on with you.
So here we have Ron Paul Jim wanting you to investigate why we're in the Middle East. Is that outside your jurisdiction?
No. Nothing is.
It is an interesting thought that, you know, one minute John McCain's out there with the Syrian rebels, and uh-oh, they're the bad guys.
Yeah, it's a revolving door. And, for, you know, that's part of the problem is you got a lot of people shooting their mouths off like they have $1 million in their pocket and they get about a nickel's worth of knowledge. You know, John McCain never saw an overseas adventure or involvement that he didn't like. So he's all for going to war with whoever's out there, and that's kind of his pattern, or at least it seems to be that way. You know, I have from a very, very reliable source, this is a general officer, that 18 months ago, the Obama administration not only was being given full, accurate, complete intelligence briefings on what the president now says, you know, was a failure of intelligence, but he was given military options to act on those that intelligence. And he's either, you know, disengaged, uninterested, waffling, checking the political wind. This is an absolute rock-solid source and a person who would have firsthand knowledge of these things. And they've told me 18 months ago, full briefings, who the bad guys are, what they're doing, what their goals and intentions are, and military, you know, active military operations to disrupt or destroy them, and the president did nothing. So, the president wants to throw the intelligence community under the bus. He needs to be very careful because history will show that they're quite able to throw him under the bus as well once everything is said and done.
Do you think that's what's really going on behind the scenes, considering the president says he missed the mark, and, again, it's George Bush's fault? Again, it's not a very leadership-like thing to do, right, Chris?
No, I mean, you can go back. It's all George Washington's fault, right? Let's just keep pointing, and then we'll end up with, you know, this is lunacy. This is cowardly blame-shifting. When has he ever accepted responsibility for anything?
That's a good point. Well, Osama.
Right. Taking the credit for brave guys who did an incredibly dangerous operation, you know, that God forbid one of those helicopters didn't get off the ground, right? Then they would have been blamed again.
Exactly. And again, now he publicizes our covert ops, which may or may not be a good thing. Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. The big story, props to you guys. Ding dong, the witch is dead, or at least he's going to resign eventually.
Yeah, you know, Holder never should have been attorney general to begin with. The guy's a disgrace. He was in the middle of the Clinton pardon sell-off at the end of the second Clinton administration. You know, he was in on the Mark Rich deal. This is the same guy who, in his first public statement, said that we're a nation of cowards when it came to matters on race, missing the irony of the first black president, the first black attorney general. You know, a guy who, I mean, he's not quite at the level of Al Sharpton when it comes to being a race hustler, but he's really close. So a guy who selectively enforces the law, who does things to actively disrupt and minimize law enforcement, going after the state of Arizona for wishing to really just enforce federal immigration law, be consistent with what the federal law is. You know, the whispering campaign to legalize marijuana and to not enforce our drug laws. Tell the DEA agents who get shot at, kicking down doors, that, oh, well, it really doesn't matter anymore. A guy who attacks marriage, a guy who doesn't want voting laws and voter IDs, which, like, you know, 90-some-odd% of the American public thinks that if you go into to vote, you should at least prove who you are. This guy's done more to corrosively, you know, wear away at and attack the Constitution than any attorney general in memory. You know, maybe I don't want to go so far as to say in history, but it probably is history. So
let's go over the Holder postmortem here for a minute. Chris Farrell joining us, Judicial Watch. JudicialWatch.org. Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. How shocked were you that when he was appointed, the first thing he did is insult the integrity of the United States by saying we're a nation of cowards when it comes to race? And then as they're burning buildings in Ferguson, Missouri, he's calling for an investigation of the police and mad that videos essentially reinforce that the person killed had a criminal intent there.
Yeah, I mean, this is when it's very troublesome when facts get in the way of these sorts of things. Your listeners should not forget that he sent down, when it came to the whole Trayvon Martin Zimmerman debacle, you know, his community organizer folks, the community relations branch people at a DOJ, went down there and organized protest rallies. They organized college students from Sanford, Florida, to go on a 45-mile, march that ended up in the police station being surrounded. The Department of Justice was active in organizing rallies and meetings in churches in order to get people, spun up to go out and act out in a disruptive way, shutting down the police station is one example of it, and in calling it, community outreach. And in all the records we obtained and all the travel vouchers of the people that were flown in from around the country from the Department of Justice to run these sort of activities, I'll just call them that, You never saw a single effort to conduct quote-unquote outreach to Mr. Zimmerman and his family and supporters. It was all a one-way street. Now, the shooting, the legal question underlying this issue is a nightmare, right? Nobody would ever wish to be in that position or anybody, whether you're Zimmerman or whether you're Trayvon Martin. The whole thing is a legal nightmare. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the activities of the government employees and attorneys being sent down into that already bad situation and doing nothing but making it worse, stirring it up and turning it into a miniaturized race war in that county, and all at the direction of the attorney general. This is lunacy. It is un-American. Creating additional upset and turmoil and throwing gasoline on the fire is not his job as attorney general.
Well, and, to build upon that, you have the Black Panthers. You have, and again, Chris, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, under the Civil Rights Department, according to one former person that left, black-on-white crime was not viewed as a civil rights violation under Holder.
Nor was any Voting Rights Act activities where people could say, well, look, we should take an even-handed view of this, or we should have a standard that is colorblind. It's just a matter of, are you who you say you are, and are you registered to vote here, yes or no? I'm not interested in your skin pigment or how you spell your name or who your grandparents were. Are you who you say you are, and are you lawfully registered to vote here? That's the standard, not, your socioeconomic bracket or any other nonsense. And that's not what the official position was in the voting rights section. And I know that because the guy who was the deputy chief, a guy by the name of Robert Popper, resigned from the Justice Department and now works for Judicial Watch. He's one of our attorneys.
Yeah. I remember when that story.
I'm not guessing at this. I know it for a fact.
I remember when that story broke. Chris Farrell, please stand by. More from our friend Chris Farrell at Judicial Watch.
Gain your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO. Good morning. Chris Farrell with us from Judicial Watch. Chris, before we get back to Holder and your thoughts on why he decided to step down, what do you make of the current lax protective security with the U.S. Secret Service?
Well, familiarity breeds contempt. The job the Secret Service has, particularly the uniformed officers, is not only hugely important, but it's also very difficult, and it's incredibly tedious. And so when you ask people to stand post or to conduct the same routine the same way day after day after day over and over and over again, unfortunately, human nature being what it is, there's an element of sloppiness that kicks in over time. And anybody who's been in any sort of military or paramilitary operation, like police or certainly the uniform division of the Secret Service, knows that the things that get done are the things that are inspected. And if the leadership, if the supervisors are not inspecting something, it won't get done, or it won't be monitored, or it won't be checked, or it won't be. And in this case, I guess there's a question of an alarm that was deliberately set on, you know, mute or off or whatever. And so, like most problems with any large institution with an important job like that, it really comes down to a leadership failure. And so I am quite certain that at the right level, they're going to scapegoat it down as far as they can. That's an institutional just reality. That's what happens, is they have to find somebody they're going to hang out to dry. But the larger question is the uniform division of the Secret Service, who's kind of the front obvious line that's out on the street manning those little guard station boxes and those sorts of things. There's got to be a shakeup. And what gets inspected is what is done well, and what you blow off and don't inspect, guess what? It slides. So there needs to be a reinvigoration of the uniform service, the uniform division of the Secret Service.
Let's give credit where credit is due to your organization, Judicial Watch. How much of the responsibility do you all believe that you had in having Holder say, "We'll be seeing you"?
I don't know that it's cause and effect, but I do know that there's sort of an accrual, right? So over time, we've accrued victory after victory after victory against the Department of Justice and Holder's political operation there. So when it comes to things like the IRS scandal, where he had a direct obligation to appoint a special counsel and has failed, the person he did appoint was an Obama political operative who had given thousands of dollars to the campaign. That person has no credibility. So he punted on that and did a poor job, and now the court is going to force discovery of the IRS, and we'll get to the bottom of what's going on there. On the matter of Fast and Furious, of course, he was held in contempt of Congress. The president, in an effort to save him, invoked executive privilege, which is a very dangerous thing, frankly, because what that says is that the president now has firsthand personal knowledge and made decisions about having Mexicans killed with U.S. firearms, and nothing short of that. I mean, the president has direct personal knowledge of the decision to send weapons into Mexico, knowing people would be killed. That's what that means. And your listeners shouldn't confuse that or have any kind of double talk around that. His imposing executive privilege over all those Fast and Furious documents means that Holder came into the Oval Office and discussed everything that they were going to do, knowing the results. That is breathtaking. No one pays attention to it. There isn't a lot of discussion about it. But no one died in Watergate, not a single person. And there's 300 dead Mexicans, one dead Border Patrol agent, and there's reason to believe another dead deputy sheriff. And the blood is literally on the hands of, not literally, figuratively on the hands of the Attorney General and the President because of the position they've taken. And so we're going to get those records produced to us on October 22nd, 2 weeks before the House of Representatives, because we pursued this case as vigorously as we have. That stuff takes a toll. And over time, it's additional pressure and additional really going to be an embarrassment to Holder. And I think that he wants to bail out of that administration 2 years early because they realize the wheels are coming off.
Quickly to Cindy for Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch at 580KIDO. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. Before I ask my question, I support Judicial Watch wholeheartedly, and I admire all the work that you guys do. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I am having a trouble understanding with all of the things that are being done. Why have not these people been brought up on charges? I'm missing something, I know.
All right, Cindy, we'll let you hang up because we're short on time, but thank you for the question, and Chris will answer that, okay?
Okay.
So Holder runs the Justice Department, and that's where charges would be brought. And so he's certainly not going to take legal action against his pal, the president. And so the default position would be, well, the House of Representatives would have to not just hold the Attorney General in contempt, they would have to impeach him. You know, impeachment is not just for the president. Impeachment is for all of those constitutional officers, whether they be secretaries of various departments, the Attorney General. And Mr. Boehner has the authority to begin impeachment proceedings against them. The problem would be they would have been tried in a Harry Reid Senate, and figure the odds of that going through. Now, what the Obama administration is very nervous about is if the Republicans take the Senate in this next election, then you would have a Senate led by Republicans, which means that Mr. Boehner might find the leadership and courage that he's lacked so far to actually impeach Obama himself personally. Perhaps what might be easier for him is to impeach lesser officers, so people like the Attorney General and others, who would then be tried in a political trial in the Senate. And a Republican Senate might just convict some lesser officers. That's a very interesting dynamic, and those cards might be on the table. No Republican leader wants to talk about that because they just want to get through the election and hopefully take the Senate. They don't want to discuss future operations because they're afraid it would taint the election itself. But that's the political calculus that's involved.
Chris Farrell, we appreciate it. Once again, great job. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
That patient flew to the U.S. on a flight from Liberia. He was not ill on the plane and didn't even become sick until well after his arrival, visiting family in Dallas. But the CDC will be monitoring the health of certain people.
We will contact anyone who we think has any likelihood of having had an exposure to the individual while they were infectious.
Says its director, Dr. Tom Frieden, who believes they will contain the virus. The patient is receiving care at Texas Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas under strict isolation. Eben Brown, Fox News Radio.
There we have it. It's official. Ebola coming to America. Dave Burnett, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
And last night we were on the phone talking about this. I know you're very concerned. Your thoughts on Ebola coming here? The president said very unlikely that it would happen.
Well, you know, we talked about this either yesterday or the day before. We were talking about ISIS and Ebola isn't a big deal. And I said then, it's a big deal if it gets into the States. What I found interesting yesterday with the CDC, Tom Frieden, he came out and made a statement that isn't the same as what the CDC's website says. He said the only way that you can, and I'm not being a fear monger here, but he said the only way you can get Ebola is with direct contact with the person who has the disease when they're infectious. Their website says you come in contact with their body fluids, you can become infected. So I sneeze on a handrail and you come by 2 hours later, you can be infected. You don't have to have direct contact with me.
Hmm.
So which is it? Now, I don't say he's trying to cover anything up. I don't see a conspiracy. But when you have something this serious, don't you get all the facts correct when you go before the media and everyone's watching?
Well, especially when you're, you know, one of these big highfalutin people that are paid to do it. I mean, we're criticizing the football team there for not getting results. If you're, you know, in charge of infectious diseases, you need to get it right.
Especially when, oh, yeah, there's a big infectious disease now within our borders.
And if it comes to Texas, it's coming here.
Well, as of now, they have quarantined the two ambulance drivers who transported this guy to the hospital. They have impounded and quarantined the ambulance he was in. Mind you, the two drivers, the two ambulance paramedics, they are in self-containment. They are not allowed to go out of their house, I guess. They're not in the hospital. They're just in their house, not allowed to go out until they know. And they're trying to track down family members, anyone else who has had contact with them. But again, I go back to their website that said all you have to do, if it's in a dry state, if there's moisture, body fluids, he sneezes or coughs or whatever, that will last 2 to 3 hours on a surface. If it's a moist setting, it could last a couple of days. I mean, that's scary when you think about it.
Well, if you're a germaphobe, like a lot of people that we know at the broadcast center, you should be okay because they spray everything down.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, and it was funny. I was talking to Maggie O'Meara earlier today, and she sneezed, and I was like, yikes! But then she said, no, don't worry about that. She said that she's more worried about the introvirus, so plenty to worry about this morning when you get up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to go go from there.
Yeah. So we'll watch and see what happens, but it has an incubation period, 8 to 10 days, could show up as much as 21 days later. So we will see if it has spread or not.
See, I'm not really concerned about it.
Okay.
That's the type of things that happen to other people.
Yep, that's probably what the next guy who gets it thought.
I mean, I'm not going to Liberia. I'm not going to any of those countries, and quite frankly, you want to stop that stuff. All right, you go to those countries, you're not coming back into America. That's how they solved it in the Middle Ages. It worked then. Why not? Why are we bringing those folks back in here? You take a risk, we'll be seeing you.
Too late.
They'll ship him back.
It's too late. Thank you.
And they're gonna put him in his home? What are they going to do, put a big plastic tent around it?
Well, no,
like his bubble boy?
He's in the hospital. He's in a glass cage in the hospital. He's in a confined, sealed-up room in a hospital. But the two paramedics that transported him are on home confinement.
Well, what are they going to do with them? Put them in bubbles?
They will watch them for 8 to 10 days, see if they come down with symptoms. If they come down, then they'll lock them in a glass bubble.
Well, everybody's living in a glass bubble or a glass house.
Well, so, you know, we'll kind of watch and see what happens over the next 8 to 10 days. I just wish they'd get it right when they're calling the plays at the line of scrimmage. I wish they'd get it right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of fear out there. The president didn't get it right about ISIS or ISIL. And not getting it right about Ebola. It's a tough day out there. Things are rough all over.
Well, just as long as nobody's breaking into the White House, we're good.
Yeah, big news yesterday. The Secret Service saying they're sorry and that it'll never happen again. Well, somebody really should be fired when you think about that the person got in it. And by the way, here at 580KIDO, you know, we live in a politically correct world. We have female referees. We're going to have a female coach of the NBA. Are there not some jobs that men need to do and women do not need to do? I.e., of course, men won't say that these days because they've been sissified and they're metrosexuals. But quite frankly, we don't need unisex bathrooms. And if you have, with the exception of Ronda Rousey, if you have, and I think Hotel Ryan could take her on a good day, when you have, and it's just like this for men, when you have big, beefy men, obviously they're going to do a better job of securing people and security than a little wimp or a female. And you have the Secret Service agent, the female, who got run over by the madman with the knife, and people are going, well, why wasn't he politically correct and stop when she said stop? What's that about?
See, I don't agree with you on that.
Well, of course you don't agree with me on that.
I don't.
Well, why? How can you defend that?
My problem is not the fact she was female. My problem is the fact that from the jumping of the fence to the time they finally tackled him to the ground, they didn't follow protocol. I heard yesterday some pundits going back and forth over the fact those dogs that they have at the White House, they don't release them because those dogs are not trained like police dogs to bite and hold. They're trained to go for it. Why didn't they release him? When they knew that guy was loose on the grounds, why didn't they release him?
Yeah.
Because they would go and attack and kill the guy? Well, what if he had a backpack bomb? You know, there was too many questions and too many protocols and had nothing to do with the fact she was female.
Yeah.
He probably would have run you over, Kevin.
No, you're avoiding the issue, and you're bringing up points that I've brought up for the past 3 days The issue here is, and this is the problem with females in the military, females in combat, the women, there are different standards. And is that fair? If Hotel Ryan has to do 50 push-ups in 2 minutes with the Air Force, at least that's what the minimum standards in the Army 20 years ago were, 36, I believe. I'm sure it's gone up. And if you're a female at the same rank, you only have to do 20. Well, they don't have the same upper body strength. Correct. It is the same standards when you have a guy coming in and you either shoot him, tase him, but you're not going to be able to take him down, and he just ran over her. So if you're in charge of something, an offensive lineman, and somebody runs over you, like what happened with the Patriots left tackle, you get replaced. And I think that we've become too politically correct. The fact that the ushers dictated to the Secret Service to silence the alarm, that wouldn't have happened under the Bush White House. That wouldn't have happened if the Secret Service hasn't been defanged, like a lot of American men.
Well, see, I disagree. I don't think, but when it comes to standards, if it's 50 push-ups in 2 minutes, that's a standard, man or woman. If a woman could do that, then she's in. If she can't, then she's not. Much as a firefighter, if she can reach the standards, she's in. If a guy can't reach the standards, he's out. Set
right.
your standards and everybody applies. If you can do it, you do it. If you can't, you don't.
But there are different standards.
Yeah, and there shouldn't be. There should be very same standards. But I don't care. If you can pass the standards, you're in. If you can't, you're out.
Yeah, I couldn't pass the standards.
I couldn't either, so I'd be out.
Here we go to Representative Jason Chavitz of Utah saying this yesterday at the big House Oversight Committees, and I think you had, Representative Elijah Cummings, not a fan of conservatism or Republicans. He was so upset he walked out of the meetings.
I think it's time that she be fired by the President of the United States or that she resign.
Yeah, and quite frankly, nobody gets fired anymore. Eric Holder runs wild, does his own things. But shouldn't the director of the Secret Service be fired? And I granted, she's just in here. She just got the job after she replaced the guy that was involved with the scandals with the prostitutes. Now, I don't think he was hiring the prostitutes when he was supposed to be protecting the president. However, he was the head guy, like that admiral with tail hook, so he had to go. Obviously, she has to go.
If I was a president, I'd fire her myself right now. But
well, and not to take away anything while you're taking a breath here, but as you always say, whether you're a R or a D, it doesn't matter when it comes to the life of the commander-in-chief. There is nothing more sacred to our country, whether you agree with him or not, than the office of the presidency and the person who holds that at this time.
Absolutely. And no, I completely agree. You can disagree with somebody's politics, but when it comes to that position, there are certain standards that have to be held.
And if you ever notice, off the air here at 580KIDO, I never joke about that. People will tell jokes, and you've been involved in a couple things, both on and off the air, where you get a visit from the Secret Service. I'm alone with people, and people, I go, look, dude, I don't even go there. And I'm not talking NSA or anything else. You just don't say those things. And I believe you can actually be prosecuted if you're even joking, and it's interpreted as a threat on the life of the president.
Yeah, that office is in a very important position and should be respected.
So if that's the case, if you can be arrested for even joking about that, then that lady should be fired for dropping the ball. It's amazing. Let's hear more from the hearing yesterday. Here is Elijah Cummings, who feels very personally attached to the president, one of the vanguards of the civil rights movement.
We need to have an outside review of the agency to make sure that we have best practices and that we meet the highest standard of excellence.
By the way, you're a suit. What is that, best practices? What does that mean?
You're talking to me? I'm a suit?
Yeah, you're a suit. You're management.
I'm not management. I am merely the janitor at this place. I have no idea. That's big speak.
By the way, before you leave, since we're out of sync here, since I'm on location at Timberline High School today, we have a very funny and emotional video for you at 580kido.com. You have viewed this, you being the voice of reason, you being the voice that may or may not agree with said humble broadcaster here. Yeah, thanks, Hotel Ryan. Maybe not so humble. Your thoughts on this video and what we can do to encourage people to watch it. Your thoughts on that?
I am just thankful that you did not have a heart attack in the making of the... Were there paramedics there when you did this?
I don't think so.
See, I'm very thankful you did not have a heart attack when this took place. But people would have to watch and judge for themselves, Kevin. I just have to leave it at that.
Was it inspiring or scary, the reaction there?
Frightening. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be blunt with you. Frightening. It was a little frightening for me. It was a little frightening for me to watch.
I just was.
I'll just leave it at that. I do have one thing to go with very quickly here. And I don't know if you have seen this story yet, but it is surfacing that now the Federal Communications Commission, the people who govern us, are now looking into whether to make it illegal to use the word Washington Redskins. Oh, I'm sorry, Washington. I can't say it. I don't want to be. But the FCC now looking into whether it's illegal to say the name of that team.
That is available on the Kevin Miller Hot List.
Yeah.
That story.
So if you're planning on saying Washington Redskins today, I wouldn't plan on saying it.
Also available at 580kido.com. But really...
go watch the video.
Yeah, it's. I liked your reaction to that. It's only about a minute and a half.
Frightening. That's all I can say is frightening.
Frightening? I thought it was inspiring. It was a victory for the common man.
Okay, you say that. I was a little frightened. Traffic now as you're coming at it.
Kevin Miller in the morning live from Timberline High School. Let's get busy. 580KIDO.
Serving Emmett.